All right. Good to be here. Coming out of the wall. Good to be here this morning. Want to make sure we...
Hey, got you.
Make sure that we are up and running. And Lord bless you. Good to be here in the house of the Lord. Good to have all. The room is just full of empty chairs. So, we've got everybody here today that have come with us, so we're still doing the 10 people and still doing the distancing and washing our hands, so you just hang in there. We're going to make it through this. So they went through some hard times in the church and all the different churches down through the church ages. And they got killed for what they believe. We haven't gotten to that part yet, so we're okay at the moment. We might have to do a little. I've been out walking 2 miles every day now, me and June. We kind of eat a little bit better, so maybe out of all this, we'll come out a whole lot healthier. But we're going to start here. I think we got down to like verse 4. But we'll start again to the angel of the church in Sardis. Now, it's the Sardisian church age. Is the 1, 2, 3, 4, number 5 church age. It was the time of Martin Luther when he was protesting the Catholic Church. So the people in this era or time or church age was persecuted for over 1,000 years by the Catholic Church. And you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, that's when all that happened during Columbus time. But then you see Martin Luther's coming at the end of that age, and he's bringing his message to the Sardisian church. But this is what God has to say to that church and to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? Because you got to remember that angel was Martin Luther. So God was directing whatever he was saying through Martin Luther. So unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. Now, the 7 spirits of God, 7 stars, we're talking about the church ages. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Remember we talked about that last Sunday, where the first 3 church ages, there wasn't a such thing as the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Only in this Catholic age, or the age of Columba, did they develop, the Catholic Church, and then everybody accepted it, that the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism was the correct baptism. Well, we know it's not. You have a name that thou livest and art dead, and it wasn't even a name. It was titles to a name. But God winked at their ignorance because the book was not open. The book, they were working under a closed book. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. In other words, Martin Luther was getting the remnant that was coming out of that Catholic age. Martin Luther was getting that group of people that still had, because Catholic reigned for 1,000 years or more. So the Catholicism in the brain or in the psyche of the people was that it was right. So here comes Martin Luther, who is a Protestant, who protested, that's where you get Protestant from, protested the Catholic Church, said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. So when Martin Luther comes on the scene, God reveals to him that the just shall live by faith, not by penance, not by novenas, not by the sign of the cross or the Hail Marys or praying to dead saints. But it was what? Belief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Because they were still in that church age, coming out of that church age. They were still persecuting the Christian. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now this is the church. So they were not in a perfect sense, but in God's eyes, they were perfect for their time. Everybody got that? They were perfect for their time. Because the just shall live by faith, that's what put them in the body of Christ. With you and I, that's not all that's included, it's part of it. But at this point in time, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. In other words, you're fixing to hear a message from this man called Martin Luther, and he's going to tell you some things that you haven't heard previous. Because the previous 1,000 years was Roman Catholic Church, do the sign, do the novenas, do the penance. And now he's fixing to tell you something from God to repent from that, hold fast to it and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee, telling the people, look, turn back to God, get away from what you're doing. He's not talking about coming, this is not the coming of the Lord.
Right.
Okay? Coming of the Lord was not the third church age, or fourth church age, all right? But he's coming to bring a message.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm coming to bring a message, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. In other words, there was a this was the dark ages, but look, there was bride in that dark age.
Yes.
They weren't all, sure, they were just a little bit, but they were still bride that had kept their garments white and that had lived through this turbulent time. Some had to give their life during that time, but there were some that made it through, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In other words, it was such a horrible time they were coming out of. God's promising the people, if you'll live right to your messenger, live correct by the word of God through your messenger, then you're going to be robed in white. I'll not forget you. He's not going to forget that church age just because he's not going to forget this, the fourth church age, just because they had all the Catholicism and all those things. God still had his little bride in there somewhere all the way through. All right? And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So we know for sure that Martin Luther was the church age messenger. It was from AD 1520 to 1750, a couple of hundred years. And there was a lot of times in there that didn't look really good. But now, that was the beginning of restoration. Now remember, you gotta remember this, it was reformation because he was reforming the people, not doing away with all the doctrines of the Catholic Church. He was accepting Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. He even accepted the Eucharist for a little while. And he had a lot of things he brought out of the Catholic Church that he used in, even in Lutheranism now, you see the different, that you see it's similar to the Catholic Church because the rituals they did, he brought some of them with him. So that means they weren't perfect. They weren't all doing the right thing, but they were doing what God wanted to do in the time they were doing it in. Everybody got that? So Martin Luther was a mighty powerful church age messenger. A lot of things went on in his life that we could go through, but we're going to continue on through. If you read the church age book, you can read Martin Luther and you can see what God did through Martin Luther. Because he protested the Catholic Church. That's why you see, again, that's where the Protestant message began. You see that there was a group over here that protested the Catholic Church. And they didn't, sometimes they physically protested them. But a lot of times, even in close to like in the 1700s, you'll read back in history where the King of England, King James and different kings, that's where you get the King James Version of the Bible. Okay. The kings were, some of them were totally Catholic. But then you had King James and the different kings, Henry VIII, and all those different ones in history that you'll read in the history books. Because I remember we read a Constantine back in these. We read when Constantine came and made all the, took all the riches that he had and he made churches out of them. They took out this one, they put in this one. You read that in history because the history reads that Constantine was a good guy. But we know Brother Brown says he used it for his own political gain and he put church and state together like Ahab and Jezebel did. And that didn't work out very well. So, but he was one that was the Crusades. They put crosses on their shirt and they went and killed, if you didn't believe in the Catholic Church on this end coming up, if you didn't believe in the new part coming, the Catholic Church, then you were killed.
Yeah.
So now we're coming out of that age of the physical killing into now a spiritual killing, which you got your, you got your white horse here, red horse, and black horse in these two church ages, because the blackness was not the physical killing. This was physical killing down here going into this age. But then the spiritual killing is where it all came from. Because what happened was Catholic stayed Catholic. Protestants, yeah, sure, God used them for a time, but God, you're going to see in a minute, God moved on to this next church age and this next church age messenger. And a lot of people said, oh, we're Lutherans. We're staying right here. Well, then God moved away from them. They became part of the Protestant move, but they were reformers, not restoration. But it was a start of restoration. Because remember, the corn and wheat went in the ground, died. It come up, stayed dead. Satan put it in the ground. I know you can't see it from here, but... But when you come back to Martin Luther, it's like the seed went back in the ground. It stayed there for 1,000 years. Read your church age book. Stayed there for a long time, but all of a sudden the sunlight started shining on a new message, a protest, to protest the Catholic Church, that all these things were wrong. But now remember too, you got to remember the reason it's not total restoration, like Brother Brown come to restore, is that when Martin Luther come out, he brought the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism with him. He brought the Trinitarian doctrine with him. He brought different things that the Catholic Church came up with. God didn't come up with these things. The Catholic Church did. But then there were some things that started a restoration, because he said, no, we're not praying to dead saints anymore. We don't have to flog ourselves and walk down the street with our knees to try to do penance. He left some of those things and came out. Why the Bible says, come out over my people. Well, he came out, but what he done is he brought some with him. Same way with, we're going to talk about John Wesley. He was part of restoration, but he was under reformation because he left a little bit of what Luther had, Lutheranism, not Luther's pure message, but he left some of that and said, okay, the just shall live by faith, but you can't sit in a pub and drink beer and smoke a pipe and talk about God anymore. God has brought us to something different. Okay? Because you got to remember too, in this Sardesian church age, it's when Tyndale, Wycliffe, and all them started putting the Bibles together. So they were able, and that was a big thing with King James and all the different kings. The different kings is like, we can't understand. They go to Mass. And look in your history. There's some good, on the History Channel, there's some good, you can see the underlying religious part, being a spiritual person. You can see how God's working even through those kings to get the Catholic Church over here and the Protestant Church over here to protest, because one of the kings, I think it was King Henry, he comes out and he says, I'm the new leader of the church. The Pope can be the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to be the leader of the Church of England. So, buddy, that started another little bitty war in itself, but they were so strong they prevailed. And you see them making their own Protestant churches to be against, because that's what protest. What do you do when you protest? You're saying that ain't right, and we've got a voice, and we're saying that's not right, so we're protesting that. Right? So that's where the Protestants came from. But it wasn't a full, like I said, restoration, because Martin Luther brought some of the bags with him. And then John Wesley brought the same, pretty much, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Trinitarian, all the different little doctrines. But when we get over into our church age, we're going to see a full restoration of pushing all that back, and we take the full Word of God, which is just like it was in the first church age. That's why you got the Alpha and Omega bride being the same, basically the same bride. Plus, we're plus. They didn't take a resurrection and a rapture. We take a resurrection and a rapture. We're plus. Our plus is the headstone. Everybody got that? Our plus is the seals, the no eternal hell, because see, that still came up from the Catholic Church. Luther and Wesley might have done away with purgatory, but they still believe there was an eternal hell. All right, so, but then when you see that, you see the prophet of God come, he says, no, that's got to stay back there. But Luther brought some with him, Wesley brought some with him, even Pentecost brought some with them. But when we see the full restoration of the Word coming in the end time, that's why God had to send a prophet. It wasn't God sent a prophet just to say, well, William Branham's a prophet, we're the only one that believes him, and he's right and everybody else is wrong. You can say that, but that's not really the way to approach it.
Yeah.
Approach it in a way that, look, read Revelations 3. There's something wrong with every church age. And the last one is totally wrong. He's going to spew it out of his mouth. God's standing on the outside of the church wanting to get back in. And he didn't say that here. He said, okay, I got a little bit against you, but I'm going to take a group of you out. I love you, but there's something I don't love about you. All right, we're going to say the same thing here, but you got to hear what the Spirit said to the churches. So Martin Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many people got the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Luther's message of the just shall live by faith. Come out of that Catholic Church. Show God that His Word is right. He said, show God, yeah. Well, He's showing down here that we look at that, the just shall live by faith. But Martin Luther, it was the seed word for the time, because that seed had went in the ground and died, couldn't abide alone. It had to come back up. Well, what did it come back up into? Two shoots. The prophet explains this many hundreds of times. It comes up into two shoots. Now, we're fixing to plant stuff out here now in the spring. You put the seed in the ground, it warms, it bursts, it gets moisture, it bursts open, and it puts up what? I don't care if you plant corn, beans, or whatever. Most of the time, it's either one little shoot or two shoots come up just like this. Now, that's very important, because if you say, oh, I got corn, let's harvest it. You will not get anything but two green shoots. That's all you're going to get. So anyway, but there's life in that. The life of the seed is in that, but it's been held inside the two shoots. So then when Martin Luther's message never died. There's no message ever died. The messenger died and went away, but parts of his message moved on to John Wesley, and then there's a stalk comes up. Well, if you got to have, you know, this was okay. But it can be kind of tossed in the wind, and you can almost trample it over. You see how wind does. But now when that shoot in the middle of a piece of corn, it's a big old stalk, right? It comes out of that middle as a big stalk. And it leaves these down here. Now the life was in this, but all of a sudden now the life is going to come out into that stalk. These are going to die. Put them in the ground, die. Luther's people, Luther's in the ground, they died, physically died, not spiritually died, they physically died, had the life in them, but that life has moved into what? The Church of Philadelphia, which is a little more closer. You just got to see this in chemistry. All you see is cells and photosynthesis going on and green and... But inside there somewhere is the life that's going to make that little bitty seed. You just can't fathom that you take... when I planted my... Of course, when I bought my apple trees, they were already big. But somewhere, somebody had to put one. One little seed had to go in that ground. It burst, opened up, made a tree about this tall. I planted it, and now I get hundreds of apples off of one seed that was in one apple that came off of another tree. So where's the life? The life's in the seed. The life goes up through the trunk. The life goes up through the trunk. But then what happens when the corn... Now, we harvest corn to eat when it's wet. We say wet. Because you put it for corn on the cob and things like that. But now in Illinois, where we're hunting at, they have to wait till the moisture content in that seed is less... I mean, that is less than 10%. So it's almost dry. Because what will happen with their process is, if that don't, the stalk dies first, you see it just as brown, they say, man, they can get this, but you see the old farmer, well, he's not an old farmer, but he goes out there and he pulls the ear back, pulls the grain out, and does some little process to it to see how much moisture content's in it. If it's too much moisture content, if they harvest it and put it in a grain bin, you're going to have alcohol, you got corn squeezing. If everybody knows what that is from the South. You're going to have white lightning liquor. Why? Because it ferments.
Right.
We don't want that to ferment. He doesn't want it to ferment. So he wants that thing completely looked like it's dead. But let me tell you something, though. There's life in that seed.
Right. Yeah.
Whether we look at it like now, when we look like, man, we're dead as a hammer, there's life in that seed. Whether, and then he'll put it in the bin, and guess what? If it's an heirloom seed, if it's not that GMO junk they do now, but if it's an heirloom seed, you can take that seed that came off of that corn cob, take that seed next year, he'll put hundreds of them in the ground and make hundreds of thousands of corn. That's the way God does with spiritual multiplication, the same way he does with when he started with one seed. Martin Luther comes up, shoot, that was very important. Don't do away with it. You can't go from seed to seed. There's a process. You gotta have what? Green shoots. Then you gotta have a stalk, and then the life comes out of that. God moved on to the Philadelphian church age, which was a good, great, powerful church. Not just the just shall live by faith, but let's get sanctification right. Let's not smoke, drink, cuss. Let's live a clean life, John Wesley says. Clean life. But that still, he still brought a lot of that old stuff with him. Right? Because he wasn't seed, but inside there is every corn stalk, every corn ear is inside that stalk. Actually, every corn stalk, every corn's going in them two shoots. Yeah. So the life has to move through all that to get to you and I, which is the seed grain. It's got to go back to seed again. Spoken word is the original seed. But like Brother Brown said, you potentially have an ear of corn. Because if you cut that down, you'll never have another ear. But see, Satan, that's what he wants to do. He wanted to cut it down. No, God just moved over and said, oh, I'm going to make a stalk. I'm going to make John Wesley come out of this. And I'm going to fill him with the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to run that life all the way up that stalk. I'm going to make some more leaves up here because they, what? They got to be able to praise the Lord and get sunlight into that, make it green, photosynthesis, to put it down into the ground, the roots and all, everything working together. That's why you can't cut any of these church ages out. You hear people sometimes belittle church ages. No, there's the life of God started when he went in the ground. Yeah. When Christ went in the ground, died, he said if it stays there, it abides alone. But if it what? If it comes forth, which is resurrection, this is Palm Sunday, resurrection next week. He resurrected so that what? So that you and I, seeds, could be planted in the ground of our heart, not the ground of our mom and daddy, because the spoken word is original seed. What's inside is what works. This outside guy is just like all humanity. But the inside guy is what makes a difference. But there's the seed word back again inside of you, so that when Brother Dale preaches, Brother Brown preaches, any minister preaches, and you receive, you're receiving the pure seed word. You're not receiving stalks anymore. You might when you first start, because everybody's journey, just like we were talking about Abram. If you'll notice in Abram's time, when he first started in his journey under justification as a type, he made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of things because he didn't know. He knew that God gave him a promise, and he knew that that promise would come to pass, but he didn't know how. God didn't tell him at first. He said, all right, you at 99 years old are going to have a baby with Sarai, which now will be Sarah. He didn't give him all that information. Right. He didn't need that. You don't need all this information to begin with. You just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
Amen? And when you do, when you receive the life of God, it comes out with two shoots, coming out now, not born again, but the two shoots is part of it, which is justification. Like we said in the church age, he says, thou hast a few names which have not defiled their garment. Remember therefore that what I have received and heard, hold fast and repent. What's the first thing you do when you in justification? You repent of your sin. Okay? That's justification under Martin Luther, justification, the two shoots. You don't really see the stalk yet, or you don't really see the ear of corn yet, but you got it right there. The life that's going to make it is right here. So the life that's going to make you from an Abram to an Abraham is already there.
Yeah.
If you're truly justified and you didn't justify yourself. That's what we've been talking about upstairs. But if you continue on, then we come into the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? Now think about it. Because remember, let me get this point straight. Martin Luther had the same new birth you got.
Yes.
Not different. Now, the word he had to work with was different than what you have today. Because under justification, the just shall live by faith, that's what God, for that time, said, I'm going to quicken that. It's like I said about this, you know, you look at Brother Zach, all I can see is Brother Zach right now. Well, that's all Luther could see. But now, that doesn't do away with the whole world. Right. But all I can see right now is Brother Zach, and God said, hey, I'm happy with that because you see me, God, you see me. But then Wesley, God just opened up a little more, and he said, all right, there's four people sitting in here. Well, he didn't see them when he had this right here, Martin Luther didn't. But when he came to John Wesley, he opened his eyes a little bit more to the Word because he was able to read it, number one. Because that was a problem with a lot of the kings had with the Catholic Church. I missed that point a minute ago. What happened was is they didn't speak Latin. So they would go to these masses and they were doing all their, and pardon the expression, but ooh, la, 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 you know, saying this in a foreign language. And the kings were like, what did you say? What? Isn't God supposed to talk to us? You know, the Catholic Church says, well, we're God's representative. You do what we say. And some of the kings were like, nah, my common people, thank God for some of them. I know there were some of them were rotten, but some of them were really good. Thank God for some of the kings that said, no, I want my people to be able to read this Bible that you say you've got in this Latin Vulgate, and you're sitting there and you yawn, 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 yawn the whole service. And listen, nobody got anything out of it.
Yeah.
You were just doing works. But then King James and all the different kings says, no, I want somebody to print that. Well, see, the Catholic Church then said, no. That's when that thing separated, when the Catholic Church says, no, this is the way it is. Remember, even the Catholic told Brother Brown, said, well, God's give us the church. We can rewrite the Bible or do whatever we want to do. And Brother Brown was like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. So anyway, so that's where the separation is. Well, let's read this for just a second, then we'll go up front. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things. Says he that is holy, he that is true. See, he's coming more from justification than sanctification. Holiness, truth. He that hath the keys of David, he that opens, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man opened. We're getting ready to see a missionary age where God's going to send the message out all over the world. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, what? A little strength, what? The stock now, little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We'll stop right there. Let's go up front. God bless you. We'll enjoy service in just a few minutes.